Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you hate Detroit, if you have hate in your heart, let it out. 92.3 The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Download the app. It's free. And then you go next to the Listen Live button. You listen live. And then you go to the microphone, which is next to the Listen Live button. You click on it. And it's the Coming In Hotline. And you leave your Coming In Hotline. It's fantastic. Keep it within 30 seconds.
It's some of the best ones at 9. We'll play them at 9.
Okay, 9 o'clock. Make sure you download that app. Mary Kay coming up in 20 minutes. Could Devontae Adams be coming to Cleveland? I don't think so, but she wrote about it, so we're going to ask her about that. And is Deshaun Watson, are we through the woods with Deshaun Watson? That all coming up. Speaking of, and a lot of people, by the way, I brought up pressure real quick. I brought up pressure about the Guardians at 7:20. One of the mentions I have, this is from Martin McSports on Twitter. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Shiba Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. There is no scenario where it would be okay for this Guardians team to lose to Detroit. It would be a massive failure and a waste of a season. Hell to the no. Strong words. That's tough talking from Martin McSports right there. Because I thought, man, I feel like there's more pressure on us now than there would have been had we played the Astros. Then if we win this series, I don't think there's, unless the Royals end up winning that series, it feels like there would be no pressure again. Like, if you play against the Yankees, I feel like we'd be playing with house money in some certain way.
Well, it's just very weird because all year we were keeping tabs on, obviously, the Yankees, the Orioles, and then later in the year, the Houston Astros, right? Second half of the year, I should say. The Houston Astros, you know, we were not really thinking the AL Central was, you know, going to have this kind of success and then get into the playoffs, and two teams have already
advanced.
Especially
when we jumped on, I mean, they were down to an even and then back up to 7.5 games, I think.
Yeah.
Over the Royals. And the Tigers get in there at the very end of the season.
It creates a conundrum. Not a conundrum at all, but it creates a lot of pressure because I think of the calls. I think of the fans. I think of their reaction. And I desperately don't want to go down that road. And I just think for whatever reason we'd separate ourselves from it. We wouldn't have it. If we lost to the Royals in the next round in the ALCS, it'd be like, well, the wrong damn owner left. Like, that would probably be one of the conversations. But, you know, you lose to the Yankees, you lose to the Yankees, you'll see how it goes. Or if you lost in the World Series, that would be a totally different reason for devastation. I just don't want to deal with the same old, same old. I think it's been a great season. I think people have been, in a lot of ways, revitalized with their love of the Guardians. It's been a successful, wonderful season. If they lose to the Tigers, who are a young baseball team, it feels like, man, did they already skip you? Are we already being skipped? Are we in the middle here? What are we actually doing to improve on this? Where I'm like, well, we have Travis Bezzana in the farm system. He should be up sometime, according to Zach Meisel. Could be up by June of next year. I don't think I'm going to ask Todd Derry about
that
at 9.
So you don't buy into...
I want to get into the actual rigmarole of the series.
That caller that called up earlier and was like, but guys, in the end, you can break all this down all you want. Baseball's a crapshoot. It is weird because we look at the sport.
We say that to ourselves to make ourselves feel better.
Well, we say it when we see the Dodgers lose in the first round. You know, how many years did they do that? And Clayton Kershaw and the struggles were like, the best team in baseball every year. One of the best records in baseball every year. And they don't advance. Just goes to show you, that's not that they're not built for the postseason. Well, it's that if you just go cold during the wrong part of the season. But we have to find ways to try to validate a season.
Well, we have this audio coming up here from Deshaun Watson, and I want to play that for everybody. But, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but look at the Houston Astros themselves. Their start was 7-19, and it was the fall of the Astros. Was it the fall of the Astros, or are they just a battle-tested team that has been through it, and they knew that they were playing in an AL West that still, even with the Texas Rangers, was still going to be sketchy at best? Because that's what it was. The Angels are terrible. The Athletics were terrible, and they were completely distracted the entire year for obvious reasons. The Rangers, maybe a hangover from last season, clearly. Seattle's going to be Seattle. They're going to be good, but how seriously are you going to take them? And then there was Houston. And at the end of the week, or the end of the season, Houston was able to take care of it. Now, if I look at what Houston is, Justin Verlander was left off the postseason roster. We're wondering about Alex Bregman's future there. Jose Altuve is still there. They're getting a little bit long in the tooth. Like the great dynasty in the American League may be coming to its end. That's a natural thing that might have happened. Where the Detroit Tigers, they're putting together their talent. They came together. I don't think it's a crapshoot that some of us make it out to be. Like, we didn't get here by accident. Jared Carrabas, I think that's how I pronounce his name. I'm sorry, the baseball analyst. Well, if the Guardians didn't play in the Central, like they started all that stuff again because the White Sox lost 121 games. Well, the White Sox had to lose to 121 teams somehow. So it doesn't matter what division you were going to put them in. How do they get to 121 losses to begin with? But with the Guardians, they were first off, they weren't very good against the White Sox. Second of all, they're playing in a very competitive division where all these teams are clearly very good baseball teams where three out of four are in the AL Central. So I think that shows that they're battle-tested. Now, how do we get over the Tigers? Wasn't an accident. The bullpen was good. The closer's great. The lineup, a little bit up and down, but started out with a house of fire. So I don't think that we could just say, well, it's a crapshoot and throw up our arms. No, no.
But we do it for other teams. That's what I mean. We do it when we watch all of baseball.
We do.
We're like, oh, who got hot? Last year, the Rangers got hot. They won the World Series. Were they the best team all year? No, not even close. So we do attribute other teams to that. But when we look at our own team, we want pound of flesh, like if things don't go right in the playoffs. My guess is if we were to lose this series, it would be because our lineup is probably just not good enough, yeah. And we never had an ace this year.
I understand.
You know, that doesn't help. Like, the Tigers have an ace. We don't have an ace. We're going to be underdogs in those games. If we see Skubal twice, we're going to be underdogs twice.
I can understand and respect the reality of the situation that if they were to lose the series, there's going to be people calling up and they're going to be mad and they're going to let it out about the Dolans and whatever. I can't run away from that. But I know that this has been a tremendous season so far, and I want to 100%. Keep it going, and I'm not ready for it to end. And I'm not ready for it to end. If it were to end, I'm not ready for it to end to the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
That's not where I want it to go. I would be crestfallen if they were to lose to the Tigers. So we played an open today, and we got right into the Guardians and Tigers at 6 o'clock, but I said, I want to hear that again. The leadership question was brought up to Deshaun Watson yesterday. I want you guys, we rarely do this, if ever. I want you to listen to this open again that Owen put together before the show this morning, because there's an Easter egg in here I need you guys to hear. Lima, turn up your headphones. Yeah, I know you always keep them low. Folks, turn up your radios a little bit and listen to this closely.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
That's what family do. We might go back and forth, but at the end of the day, like, we talk about it, we love each other, and we move on. And that's part of the game. That's part of this system. I think, you know, the media kind of blows it out of proportion, but it wasn't anything serious. That's why no one panicked. That's why you didn't see Kevin or Ken or any of the coaches try to do too much, because we know exactly what we need. And that's what we need. It's a player-led team. It's a player-led league. And it's only so much coaches can really do when it comes to that point. So players got to take over. Captains got to take over. And if we get on the same page, we can be special.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
First down, what seemed to be the easiest play call of a series. And you guys are like 3.2 yards per first down. What's going on with first down?
I don't know. I mean, that's a Kevin question. So, you know, you got to talk with the coordinators on that part. I'm just executing whatever it's called. If people think it's easier on first down, I think every down is hard. It's the NFL. So, you know, it just depends on what the defense is doing.
Focus is just playing better. Certainly that doesn't mean players play better. That means all of us have to do a better job. So I have to do a better job. Our offense coaches have to do a better job. Our offensive players have to do a better job. But that's all of us together. So that's really where our focus is.
This is Cleveland's Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
So that Owen put that together because I'm going, well, when he said that I player-led, I go, keep that for later in case there's somebody that needs to get thrown under the bus later on. And sure as hell, he goes, oh, keep listening. And then you hear, well, that's a question for Kev. About the play call, the question, and averaging 3.2 yards a carry. Are they player-led? Because we know, Kevin, we know this 5 years in. Kevin is not going to sit there and he's not going to run out there with them and lead them into battle against whatever team they play. Dan Campbell's that type of guy. A couple other guys are that type of guy. He is a manager of people, Kevin is. Are they player-led?
Yeah, I mean, I would say being the oldest team in the NFL, if you look at their starters, they've got a bunch of high-priced veterans. They've got a bunch of guys making top five money at their position across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And given that, you know, it's got to be the players. Like, you know, we could talk about coaching for building a culture. Stefanski did that. He built the culture. We don't have to do a daily, you know, recap on how's the culture today. Like, no, he built it up. We remember where the culture used to be. So that part of his business is over. Now it's up to, you know, getting on the same page with the players. I agree when I heard Deshaun Watson talk about that. Like, that, I don't know that they're on the same page. Like, that is something that they have to, you know, maybe retool. But, yeah, I mean, this needs to be. The players are going to be the ones to get them out of this. It's not going to be better play calling here and there. It's nothing to do with it. Like, we say all the time, play calling is so overrated. Where it's just, hey, if it's a good play call. If it's a bad play call. Like, that's the most fundamental, worthless analysis that you can get into.
Yeah, but
in
when
sports.
You brought up the decisions at the end of the first half, now that's the analysis there. That was true.
I absolutely had problems. That made no sense to me strategy wise. And normally, I think Stefanski's given you an edge when it comes to strategy. Mm-hmm. I think they do really smart things within the organization and working with their analytics mavens to come up with best practices. They didn't follow them there. That was just a breakdown altogether.
With the media overreaction comment, like, I could try to take that personally and say, well, the Cleveland media has been as positive, were as positive about this team as I've seen them ever in an off season. Again, we're going to have Mary Kay at 8:20, and Mary Kay was very positive about the Browns going into this season. The other part of it is, how am I not supposed to overreact? As a member of the media, as a person who has passion about this team, you're 1-3 to start things off. You've been bad 3 out of 4 games. You were okay in the Jacksonville game. You were just recently good, and then you still lost that game. And you have either the most expensive offense of the NFL or one of the most expensive offenses in the NFL. How many guys do you have that are getting paid over $10 million? Is it 11 still?
Man.
You have 10 guys or 11 guys in double digits. I'm not supposed to overreact. I'm supposed to say everything's cool. You're 1-3. What are we saying about the Bengals right now? They're 1-3. They got the Ravens this week. The Ravens could bury them. 1-4 to start the year? You're not going to freak out? Our windows are very, 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 very tight windows to compete in. Where a lot of fans are sitting there going, Ken, I think the window might already be closed. Well, I can't sit there and fight you when they're 1-3. Mari Cooper's bobbling passes. Jerry Judy's your best wide receiver right now, and he's saying he's tired. I'm not supposed to overreact to something like that? I'm going to overreact to something like that. As a fan and as a media guy, I'm going to do it. So are you player-led? Well, I can't prove that they're player-led right now. The closest thing to it was the fight that they had on the sidelines with him and DeJuan Jones, because we're going, there's definitely a pulse here between these guys that they got to get this thing going. But you're only going to prove that you're player-led through the future. The only thing that's going to happen is more evidence one way or the other. I hope they give evidence that they're player-led. Could they be adding more of those players? I'm going to be patrolling the hallways. Mary Kay, she's patrolling the hallways with the Cleveland Browns. She's wondering whether or not Devontae Adams could be a Cleveland Brown. Forget Pittsburgh. Mary Kay, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Could Devontae Adams be coming here?
You know what? I don't think it's a realistic possibility, in part because I think he has some places that he'd really like to go. I think he really would like to be reunited with Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. I think he wants to be very judicious in his next move. I know he wants to be happy. I know he wants to win. I'm not entirely certain that, you know, that it's something that he would want to do. I don't know that he wouldn't want to do it. I just know that he kind of seems to have a short list of places he would like to go. But I think the point in this is that if the Browns inquire, and I believe they either have or will, then I think it just shows that they're trying to do everything that they can to win, not only this year, but going forward. We know Amari Cooper's contract is up after this year. They have some decisions to make in their receiver room. And whenever a player like this becomes available, you have to check on it.
Is there a time in the season where that would no longer be the case? Like, could they at all this season liquidate assets if things keep going south?
I suppose they possibly could, but the trade deadline is November 5th. So the time to make some of those decisions is fast approaching. You've got to lay the groundwork for any trades that you might want to make coming up here in the next couple of weeks. You've got to be on the phone. You've got to be working the phones and seeing what you might be able to do or want to do. But I don't think they're at that point yet. I think they're at the point of they believe, especially with the Ravens at 2-2 and the Bengals at 1-3, that they're still in this thing. They're certainly not out of it. If they can go win these next two games, then they're right back at 500. And if you can hover around 500, anything can happen when you get it together.
Hi, Mary Kay. We do know they were involved, at least. This wasn't just a local thing. I mean, national people were talking about it, too, the Brandon Ayuk situation. So, you know, they are big game hunting. They seem to always be in on that. I guess my question is, like, financially, if you trade for Davante Adams, like, he's looking for a new contract, right? So now you have to make him one of the highest paid wide receivers in football. And I mean, at what point does that become kind of problematic for their cap situation?
Well, yes, that's the huge factor with Davante Adams, is that you would have to do the redo and you would be looking at a ton of money over the next several years in the extension. So that's a big factor to consider. Again, I don't know if it's a realistic option. I don't know how heavily they are into it at all. But once again, I think there's change afoot, it seems, in the receiver realm, not just in Cleveland, but all around. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins could move. Davante Adams could move. Others could move. And I think it's good that they pushed back the trade deadline, because teams will start to know by then, are they going somewhere this season or are they not? But I do think that when you look at the Browns right now, they need more production, obviously, out of their passing game. And I think they'll do everything that they can to at least take a look at that.
Is it true teams have called already about Amari Cooper?
Well, I'm sure they have. When you see a player like that who's in the final year of his contract, and you might be a team that just needs that piece, and you know you're going somewhere, yes, you would probably make that phone call. So I would not be surprised about that at all.
All right, Mary Kay, you were there yesterday. We played a bunch of the clips from the Deshaun Watson press conference. As you were trying to read him, you've had a chance to talk to him, ask questions. How do you think this is going for him right now? Because we thought, this show did, that he played well on Sunday. In my mentions, fans are like, you call that well? So clearly we are split on the Deshaun Watson experience from week to week, and how do you think he's handling it all?
I think he's handling it really well. I thought yesterday when I asked him, was he interested in someone like Davante Adams coming here, I thought he did a really nice job of throwing all of his faith and confidence into Amari.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cooper and the guys in his room, because that's what they need right now. They all need to know that they're one and that they're together, and you know that's the way that they're going to dig out of this hole. But when I look at the first four games of the season, I really think there are so many contributing factors. I think he did play well in that game. I don't think that he got the help that he needed. He obviously didn't get the protection that he needed in some instances. He didn't get the catch that he needed from Amari over the middle. He didn't get the clean play that he needed on the touchdown. And then some things happened on that 4th-and-3 that just didn't go well either. So they're in a situation where not every single person has been able to help out the way that they need to. But I think the signs are there that it can get better. They just have to do this really, really fast because time's a-wasting.
What do we expect out of Nick Chubb in terms of the timeline coming back here now?
I would give him most of that 21 days to come back. You don't want to rush it and then find out that it was too soon. So I would give, I don't know what they're going to do, but I would give him most of the 21 days, get him back sometime over the next 3 weeks, and then I would ease him into the lineup. I hope that people aren't expecting to see four-time Pro Bowl Nick Chubb in week one, the minute that he's back. I mean, he's going to, obviously he's Nick and he's superhuman in so many ways. But I think, once again, I've said this many times before, I think people need to temper the enthusiasm just a little bit, let him ease his way back in. I think the Browns will need to let him get fewer reps than he normally would have when he was starting and just see where it can go. And then hopefully towards the end of the season, when you really need him in the home stretch, hopefully for them, they'll still be in it. And in the playoffs, he'll be rounding into peak form.
Mary Kay, are we seeing the full brunt of the Ken Dorsey offense right now, or are we still, you know, weeks away from having it all be fully integrated?
It's a work in progress. When you roll out a new scheme like this, you have to find out what works, who works in it, who's shining, who's not. I mean, look, Elijah Moore got one target in that game. Cedric Tillman was supposed to be a very big part of this offense this year, and he didn't get any targets in that game. Now, it's easier to get targets when you're converting third downs and staying on the field and running more plays, obviously. But it just hasn't gone the way that they thought it would in the early going. And part of that, too, is that David Njoku hasn't been out there, and that's really hurt. I mean, he was one of the biggest targets on this offense for the first four games, and he just hasn't been there.
So what is it? I'm sorry, Mary Kay. Is it like a Stefanski problem calling plays? Is it a Dorsey problem? Do they just not jive with each other? I mean, what is it?
Well, it's easier to call plays when you can block up front and when you've got your tight end and when your number one receiver is going right and when your quarterback has shaken off the rust. So none of those things have really happened yet. So I don't think it's time for Kevin Stefanski to give up the plays. I think it's time for everyone to go out there and see, let's see what happens when David's back. Let's see if Amari is the Giants Amari this week. Let's see if maybe they can't find a way to get Elijah a little bit more involved. I really don't think that it's time to give up the play calling. It's been very, very difficult to get this offense accomplished with the blocking the way that it's been.
Mary Kay, we were wondering what kind of defensive season we would get out of these guys after Jim Schwartz, before the year, talked about making sure that that fire is lit, that they have to be better, and that they can't be predictable the way that maybe they were in the playoff game. And yet here we are, you know, 4 weeks through the year, the easy part of the schedule, and you know, Daniel Jones kind of carved them up. And at times, Gardner Minshew and that offensive attack for the Raiders without Davante Adams carved them up. What is going on with the defense right now?
Well, I don't think they were as battle-tested last year as they needed to be, and things are tougher this year, and they're going to get tougher still. So I think this defense is going to have to dig deep. I think tackling sometimes is a want-to. I think it's you have to find your hustle. You have to find your motor because you can't always practice it. I really do believe that those guys are going to have to find their inner tacklers and really turn up the motor on that and make sure. I mean, they're going to be going against the number three rushing team in the NFL this weekend, and they're going to have to wrap up and tackle so much better than they did, obviously, in Vegas. So that's one thing. And then up front, they just need to get more pressure from more people. You know, you just can't rely on Myles Garrett. He had the only two sacks in that game and three of the four quarterback hits. Deshaun was hit 11 times in that game. Gardner Minshew was hit four times and three of those came from Myles. So you've got to get your pressure from elsewhere. And if you have to do it by blitzing more or whatever you have to do, they've got to dial up the pressure. They've got to be more disruptive. And that's got to start this weekend. I just think everyone on that defense, because they're, for the most part, they're pretty healthy on defense. Jordan Hicks left that game, and that hurt them. He's one of their best defensive players this year. But they all have to look in the mirror and find the will to win and to go out there and dominate.
How will this offensive line look on Sunday? What will it be comprised of?
Well, hopefully for them, they'll get some of those guys back in practice today, and then they'll have a shot to play. Jed, Jack, and Ethan did not play. When you look at that offensive line from last week, they didn't have Jed, they didn't have Jack, they did not have Ethan, and they did not have Wyatt Teller. If anybody told you you were going to go into a football game without any of those guys, I think you would have known that would be a challenge. So if they can get those three guys back, they'll be in much better shape to go out and win a football game. Losing Ethan in that game hurt them a ton. He's one of the best centers in the NFL. And then, of course, we can see that DeJuan Jones is struggling. I mean, he's just not himself yet. I don't know if Jack's ready to go out there and play some right tackle, but I certainly think it might help if they could shore things up on the edges. Right now, I think a lot will be determined by when we go out there today and see who's practicing.
Is DeJuan Jones injured, or what's going on?
I think he is having a little bit of a tough time coming back from his torn MCL. And he's not using it as an excuse. He's not complaining about it. But the thing is, with some of these guys, when you spend a whole offseason rehabbing and you're not in football shape and maybe you're not even in conditioning shape, it does impact you early on in the season. So I think some of these things are working against him. And then, of course, I also think that he does miss Bill Callahan. I think that Bill was really, really hard on him, but in such a way that it brought out the best in him. And that's why I actually thought it was kind of good that Deshaun and Jameis took it upon themselves to try to scream the best out of DeJuan the other day, because they're trying to say, look, we need you to be that guy you can be. And I think he's trying. I know he's trying. He wants to be great. That's the good part about it. He's very, very coachable, and he has the desire to be great. But he really hasn't hit his stride yet this season.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. David Njoku, yes or no for Sunday?
I'm going to say yes.
And There we go. Much needed help. Come on, the Chief.
And I think that's going to help tremendously. I think they've really missed him. Even on some of those red zone plays, those end zone plays, those fourth down plays, I think he would have really, really helped them, not just in the passing game, but in the blocking game. They really need him. And, you know, when you have the first quarter of the season when your top two targets just really aren't there for you consistently, that's going to be a long road.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. Lima, anything to add? I thought you were leaning towards your microphone.
Mary Kay, 5.5 wins has been the adjusted total for the Cleveland Browns.
That's too long of a question.
What in the world? Mary Kay, come on. How much money do we have to pull together? They're getting 6 wins.
We're not.
Come on.
You can't just sit there and bet on
yes,
6 wins.
Yes, we can.
And
how much?
$10,000.
I need $10,000, Mary
What a
Kay.
Terrible bar
I
to set.
I really need $10,000.
What a terrible bar to set. 6 wins? We're trying to find 6 wins. If they try to find 6 wins, we're in a lot of trouble here. Mary Kay, thank you so much
Maybe
for the
15
time.
$15,000.
God bless you. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Holly. I'm about to just talk Guardians. I don't even want to bring this up. Do I bring this up? What I forwarded you guys in the email this morning? Want me to do it?
Sure.
You sure? I'll be quick. Mock drafts are already out. Should I go further or no? We got Todd Derry. We're talking baseball at 9, okay? Mock drafts are already out.
And where do they have us picking right now? What's
the
number?
They have us picking 5th. Every one of these sent to me, CBS Sports, Yahoo, also Draft Countdown, has us taking a quarterback. Real quick, you want to go over the names? Real quick? Real
Fine,
quick?
Whatever.
Mark it down, 8:46, October 3rd. Okay. Draft Countdown has us taking Cam Ward, Miami. Yeah, man. Slight of frame.
Man, he's
a magician, man.
I think he threw 3 picks in the last game, and it could have been 6.
So? Details.
That was a wild. We didn't even talk about what
Details.
A wild, wild finish that was.
There's upside.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Guys, it's been a while since we've sat here and actively watched quarterbacks. Yeah. You're going to have to dust this off if. Hopefully, I'm telling you, if he keeps playing well and they keep losing games, he ain't the one going. CBS Sports, which I think this might be Ryan Wilson. It has to be because he's their draft guy. No, this is Chris Trapasso. I beg your pardon. He is one of them. He has us taking Jalen Milroe, whose own quarterback said he's a running back that throws. And I went, oh, God, we're going into Daniel Jones land here. Yahoo Sports, Shedeur Sanders. I guarantee they're not going to take Shedeur Sanders. Yeah, I'm going to guarantee it.
It's a guarantee.
Yeah, it's Ken Carmen guarantee. I don't think that matters to anybody. It's not worth the paper it's printed on to anybody. That's a guarantee.
If you bring him in, do you have to hire his offensive coordinator?
Pat Shurmur?
Well, no, I guess it works that way too. No, I'm talking about his trusty father.
And that's why it's not going to happen. Because if it keeps going this way, now we're going to X out of that and never talk about those mock drafts until just like Paul Masson, they'll sell no wine before it's time. We're not going to do that before it's time again. It just got said to me.
Don't you think you'd have to have the worst record in the NFL him. Or the second worst record in the NFL to draft a quarterback?
I told you who people need to be watching if they want to look at the top of the board. Garrett Nussmeier down at LSU.
Yeah, you like him.
However,
like him a lot.
I think he's my dark horse. I said that back in August. So it wouldn't be him because if he continues to play like this, he is Deshaun now. If Deshaun continues to play like this, he ain't going anywhere. Other guys will go anywhere. And then you're not going to draft anybody behind him. You're going to try to build around him. You might draft a wide receiver. Does Tet McMillan out of Arizona look good to anybody? How far down could Emeka Ibuka fall?
Yeah, it stinks. The receivers we want are not draft eligible.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get Jeremiah Smith. We're going to have to remind people that Jeremiah Smith can't come up for 2 more years. Yep. And we'll probably have to do the same thing for Ryan Williams with people when that time comes. Offensive lineman, already heard from Jim Nagy. Or Dane Brugler, I think, put it out as well. Not a great year for first-round talent. Not a great year.
Right.
Overall.
I saw multiple people talking about this.
They'll build with him, though.
Now, it'll change by the time we get to the end of the year, so you got to fully understand that. But right now, executives around the league, according to people that are following this, think there's only like 10 to 14 guys with first-round grades in this draft.
But are the players going to get better on tape as the season goes on? Maybe some. Or is there just 32 spots and we got to fill them spots?
Which I think that does happen, absolutely.
Okay, so that points down to how much faith people have in Andrew Berry. Right now, I don't think there's a whole lot. Maybe that'll change as the season goes on, but people have really started to roll up their sleeves and look at the draft picks, and there's been some very strong criticism about Andrew here over the last couple of weeks.
Well, it makes sense because the guys you did get excited about, DeJuan Jones last year, Martin Emerson, if those guys are just Jags, right, and they're not what we thought that they could be or what they were trending towards – well, then you look at the drafts, and it's like JOK and who else over the last – I mean, this has been five drafts now. Like, I mean, that's a substantial time. Most GMs don't even make it that long.
I still have a ton of faith in DeJuan Jones. I have – you mentioned JOK. I mean, that's – was Grant Delpit his pick? I think Grant was his pick. Yeah, Grant was his pick. Greg Newsome was his pick.
Yeah.
Greg Newsom's okay. I mean, he's good.
Well, we've wondered if they were going to trade him.
Yeah.
You know, this entire time.
Yeah, he's a tradable piece. That's what people are saying. So, I mean, if you really examine it, it's not too terribly tremendous. So you got a very strong discussion.
Yeah, Delpit was his pick.
Okay, Delpit. Delpit's good.
I'm looking at the drafts, man. This is
Cam Mitchell.
This is not great.
Cam Mitchell's been good. Filling in. It was late round. Okay, don't side-eye me. What's the matter? Was he or was he not good?
He's fine for what he does.
Okay, what the hell does that mean?
He's not been what you've seen out of MJ Emerson or anything like that.
He's a mid-round pick, but he's a late-round pick. What am I supposed to expect from Cam
Mitchell? Now, if you don't keep Jedrick Wills, and that was the first draft class, Wills and Delpit.
But I don't think you can go to the late round picks and go, they do spot fill in stuff very well and go, that makes him a good drafter. Yes, he picked a kid where the kid was commiserate to pick, and he didn't turn into a complete failure.
I think that's a check.
Congratulations
mark.
Congratulations on all your success.
That's a check mark in my book, if you ask me. And I'm trying to find the positives.
We need stars,
though. Yeah, when the reason Ozzie Newsome is considered all-time great is because he drafted Ray Lewis, Jonathan Ogden, Ed Reed. I mean, Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, what has he done lately?
Well, it was a long period of time, right? Yeah, where it started to feel that way.
But when you get those guys, you can miss for 3 or 4 years because they are
great point.
Decades-long players.
Yeah, but when you have hits like that, I mean, you're right. It's not even misses. It's like, man, when you have hits like that, guys can come in and they can be jacks.
Right, and then you can go and get your 6th-round guy and go, hey, he showed up. He looks more like a 4th-rounder.
Yeah, I mean,
and you're good.
Again, when we give guys credit for some of this stuff, like a caller called in once and said Daffy Duck could draft Myles Garrett. Like, yeah, it's true. I mean, anybody was going to draft Myles Garrett, so I don't know if that takes a whole lot of the wherewithal there. But, like, hey, moving up for David Njoku years ago, I mean, that was a good move by that organization, by at least that front office. I mean, this is what's going to be discussed here. I mean, if you can't get the 5.5 wins, for crying out loud, Lyman's puffing out his chest to get the 6-11.
I just thought it was absurd.
It's absurd to talk and puff out your chest about 6-11. Guys are going to go if they're 6-11 because this is supposed to be an analytical team. If you have people who are in analytics having a problem with your team, because you can say everything you want to about the analytics of what they're put together, if the sum of all the parts does not end up being a winner, the analytical people are going to be critical of it, and that means that somebody's going to have to answer for it. Okay, well, it ain't going to be Deshaun if he keeps playing this way. It's going to be everybody else. Their jobs are up for grabs, not his, because of the investment that's been made.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.